Welcome to the first in a series of recordings from the Harne Hill Centre. We have been practising with technology and hope over the next few months, maybe longer, we'll be able to offer several recordings, hopefully as a way of encouraging and blessing you. We have many wonderful supporters and friends of Harne Hill, and we've missed the opportunity to see most of you during these past months. One of the objectives of reaching out in this way is to keep in touch about what's happening here at the centre. But we also want to share something of the deeper journey we are on as a team at Harne Hill and to offer reflections on how we're experiencing God at work. Through these recordings, you will hear a variety of voices and not just mine, which will offer a better reflection of who we are as a community. And hopefully there'll be some of your voices too, as we invite people to share their story of how God has been at work in their lives. Today, you'll get to hear from Dr. David Wells, who is known to many of you. He is a long-term member of this community, and he's going to share some thoughts on his faith and how this has impacted his work as a GP over the years and drew him to become involved at Harne Hill as a member of our prayer team and also for a period of time, the Chair of Trustees. We also wanted to share some of the creative gifting within our community, and you've already heard Matt and Tilly Taylor as they have kindly recorded the opening music for us, and we'll hear more from them later on. Well, firstly, I would like to share a bit more about why we have planned these recordings and why we feel now is the time to do it. The content has actually been on our radar for quite some time, but until now, it hadn't been clear how to share it with you all. Several years ago at Harne Hill, we started exploring the idea of developing what is traditionally called a rule of life. Now, this terminology is not something we're going to stick with, but by way of explanation, and because some of you will be familiar with the idea of having a rule of life, I'll use it for now and then expand on the term later on. Most religious communities have a community rule, and it basically means expressing how they are choosing to live out their faith in Jesus and how it impacts and informs the everyday aspects of their life together and how they're aiming to live into God's calling. As you may know, we live in a small residential community here at the centre. There are seven of us who live on site, and we've gotten to know each other pretty well over the years, especially once lockdown hit us earlier this year. That was a whole new level of community life for us. But this on-site community is part of a much larger community. We have a staff team who come and join us during the week. And there are also times when we have volunteers living with us either for a week or a bit longer. And of course, the many friends and volunteers who come and help out during the day. Over the year, all of these different people from many different walks of life have formed this community and been at the core of the work and the ministry at Harne Hill. As we started to reflect more on what we understood as important about our calling to live and work in this community of faith, some of our guests were starting to share how they were noticing the love and the care between us, the family feel within the community, and how they felt at home during their stay. And it became clear that something important was happening, and the Lord was at work in many ways, but including through the dynamics of how we've chosen to live alongside one another. As a community, we are on this journey of faith. Some have been on it longer than others, but together we desire to dig deeper. We are a group who share in the same vision and are passionate that people come to know the healing love of Christ for themselves and to develop and grow in their faith journey to follow Jesus day by day. And so a rule of life is about that journey and highlighting ways of living which are important to us. It might be in how we worship together and our pattern of worship, or how we grow in our own prayer life, perhaps also how we relate to one another. Our beliefs are rooted in scripture, And so in essence, we are trying to work out how to apply God's word to our lives, to follow Jesus and to be open to the work of the Holy Spirit. All of us are a work in progress. None of us have got life sussed. We are far from perfect, but we are a group of people who just want to follow Jesus. As I've mentioned, over the centuries, many religious communities have developed a set of rules to help them with this. But the word rule is an interesting one because it can mean different things depending on our experiences. However, we all live by a set of rules, whether we realise it or not. Of course, we live by the rules of the land written in law. And I think that every culture develops a set of unwritten rules, maybe different rules depending on which decade you were born. Culture has changed a huge amount over the years, even in my own lifetime, and it seems that there is a shift in every generation. Of course, we have all faced new rules for living in a pandemic, and it's been clear, hasn't it, that some people are more willing to follow the rules than others. Rules are only as good as the motive behind them, the reason for them. If we believe that the government are trying to protect the citizens of this country, then we are likely to take the rules seriously. If we believe that there's a hidden motive, then, well, there's plenty of conspiracy theories out there to get our teeth into. Of course, we know that the love of power can cause people to inflict rules on others in the most atrocious of ways. I recently got hold of a book I'd been meaning to read for years by Viktor Frankl called The Meaning of Life. It's his account of living through the experience of being detained in a concentration camp during the Second World War. He faced the most extreme and dehumanising rules. Thankfully, most won't experience that level of control by others. Sometimes the rules we live by are actually self-inflicted. Many are ruled by their own desires, perhaps to have more than they should. In the book of Jeremiah in chapter 8, it says, "From the least to the greatest, their lives are ruled by greed." We can very easily be ruled by what we believe about ourselves. Much of the ministry at Harn Hill helps people to identify rules that they have placed upon themselves, maybe because of bad experiences, perhaps a set of rules for self-protection, which ultimately control their life and end up limiting their freedom. But I want to now turn briefly to the New Testament and what Paul said to the Colossian church. This new church was struggling with those who didn't have a full grasp of the gospel and were adding extra rules into the mix. It was causing confusion and distraction. It wasn't particularly bad stuff. In fact, some were seen as good rules coming from their Jewish roots, but which happened to really misunderstand the grace of God. It was a case of trying to behave in a certain way, of them putting what they did above God's grace, rather than recognising the power of God's grace at work within their lives to change them from the inside out. And Paul tells them to keep the main thing the main thing. In Colossians chapter 2, he says, "You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires." It seems that for Paul and for us, unhelpful rules can sneak in undetected, but when we spot them, they need weeding out because they undermine God's grace. And that's why I'd like to move on from the language that I've used so far. The word rule can make us feel as though we have to do something to earn something, or to behave in a certain way to prevent getting into trouble. It can make us feel that, well, if we break the rules, then that's going to be a real problem. It can make us feel that if we follow the rules, then, well, we need to be perfect and not step out of line in any way. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is God's grace through the obedience and sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrected life being offered to us. This is about what he does within us if we're open. He's offering to be with us and for the work of his holy and life-giving spirit to help us. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And so, although I've used the word rule so far, I'd now like to just place that word gently to one side. I'm not dismissing it, but for the Harn Hill community, we've decided to use a different phrase which will hopefully help people understand what we're trying to express. Instead of talking about a rule of life, we want to express it as a way of life. Jesus said of himself, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The early Christian believers, as you may know, were described as followers of the way. And at Harn Hill, we want to journey close to the Lord, to be followers of the way and to be open to what God is doing. I love what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness." This scripture reminds me of the ancient oak tree in the field at Harn Hill. It's on the left as you drive in. I know many of you have admired it. It's a wonderful tree. We've included a photo of it with this recording. I suspect it's hundreds of years old. It's standing solidly within the field, its roots continuing to grow into the earth, unseen, but enabling that main trunk and the branches of the tree to grow strong, and then in season, developing its leaves and acorns. It's a picture of faith, I think, roots down, growing into Jesus. And do keep that image in your mind as we travel through these recordings, because we're going to refer to it again. It's an image of growth for this community, and perhaps an image for you within the communities where you live and serve. We desire that Jesus is absolutely central to who we are and what we do. There are no replacements. There are, of course, plenty of things to distract us, even good things. But many of those distractions, I think, have been stripped away over the last few months. And so this is a season for us to embrace Jesus more fully. Warren Wiersbe wrote, "As we yield to the indwelling Spirit, we receive the power we need for daily living." And so, are we drawing on the spiritual nourishment of Jesus? Following a way of life is not about adding a load of extra burdens and rules to our Christian experience, but it's about focusing in on what's already important to us. It's about focusing on Jesus Christ, through whom we are nourished and sustained as we walk in faith. As N.T. Wright explains in his reflection on Paul's letter to the Colossians, he says this, "The mode and sign of entry into the Christian community from the very earliest days to the present is all about putting off an entire way of life and entire sphere of existence. It means dying to the old world and coming alive to God's new one." We are being invited to live a totally new life, not a refurbished version of the old one, but to embrace that we are a new creation in Christ, being made new by him. We have the opportunity to journey with one another in this, and to encourage each other along the way, and also to pray for one another, just as Paul prayed for that early church community. in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. He says, "For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Jesus is the way. He is our way of life. And so, if you're interested in journeying with us, we hope and pray that these recordings will encourage you along the way. Earlier, I mentioned that we would be hearing from Dr. David Wells. Just before the lockdown this month, I spent a wonderful couple of hours with David and we chatted about all sorts of things. I asked him about his experiences of community, about his journey to faith and some aspects of what he had experienced in his years being part of the community here at Harne Hill. It's always wonderful to hear people's stories and I'm so grateful to David for his time. Here is some of what he shared with me. David, I'm wondering whether you could tell us a little bit about your journey to faith. How did you start to become aware of Jesus?
I was brought up in a Christian home and I'd been to a Christian schools and I'd learned about the Bible and read it and basically believed in it. After I'd been in practice for a few years, I'd had a very bad back for quite some time. It was decided that it would be helpful if I had a fortnight's bed rest, because sometimes that can just actually turn things round. While I was stuck in bed, one of my patients, who was a minister in the town, took the opportunity to come and visit me, which was very nice.
Yeah.
And during the conversation, there was I lying, looking very inelegant in bed. And he said, "Have you ever asked Jesus into your life?" A very simple answer to that is no, of course not, because nobody had ever suggested that you could. I thought about it and decided that from what I had started to gather about Jesus as a person, I don't remember now exactly what I said, but the meaning behind it was, well, if you're really there, Jesus, then yes, would you come into my life because I'd like to get to know you better.
Yeah. And did that happened at that moment, bonding in
that
way?
I think I responded. There were no flashes of lightning, but I do think that that was the start of my actually becoming a Christian,
yeah,
as opposed to knowing all about it.
So a partaker rather than a spectator.
Yes,
spectator.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Yes. And that made a lot of difference to my practice.
What kind of difference do you think it made in your practice? Did you sense something different of God in what you were doing?
I think I can best answer that by giving you an example, because one of my patients was, she was about 80, and she'd had brittle bones all her life, which meant that she'd broken almost every bone in her body at some time or another. And she was quite a tough lady, but there was always lots of things wrong, and there was nothing I could do about it. She very, very seldom came to me with anything that I could actually treat which upset me no end. And she had surgical shoes on. My surgery room was at the end of a corridor. And when it was her turn to come in, I could hear her shoes squeaking as she came down the corridor. And as she came down the corridor, my heart used to sink because I knew there was nothing I could do to help her. Once I'd asked Jesus into my life and had received the Holy Spirit, I found a very remarkable change because the poor dear lady was exactly the same and she had the same pair of shoes on and they made exactly the same noise coming down the corridor when she was coming to see me. But instead of my heart sinking, I found I started praying for her and was pleased to see her. I don't know that it made any difference to her general state of health, but it made a lot of difference to me. And I hope that my attitude will have been of some comfort to her.
It seems as though that was quite a turning point for your professional life. And I know that you started developing an interest in the healing ministry as you sort of went along. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, it became very clear to me that not all my patients got better, which of course they should have. It became obvious that although one was dealing with both the physical and the psychological aspects of life, one was not dealing with the spiritual side at all. There wasn't time, and in a way I didn't feel I had permission. When I tried sharing this with some of the clergy, the general attitude was, that's our business, not yours. So we didn't get very far. But I was interested in what one could do, and there was a full gospel businessmen's group in the town. And I was involved with them, amongst other things. So quite a lot of prayer for healing was going on. And there was quite a big group of us who really wanted to know more and to explore it and to try and see what could be done. And on one occasion, soon after I'd retired, actually, three people from Harn Hill came over to Devizes to give a talk one evening. And what impressed me was the total genuineness of what they were saying about Jesus and about healing. And I wanted to know more. So very soon after that, I made my way over to Harn Hill. And I suppose the rest is history.
You've been involved with Harn Hill for many years now, and it's been a really significant part of your journey. In what ways do you think your different roles at Harn Hill have changed you along the way?
Quite soon after I started coming to Harn Hill and being involved with prayer ministry, I was asked if I would like to be a trustee. And the short answer was no, I really didn't want to be a trustee because I had been involved in quite a lot of committee work and being chairman of quite a lot of different committees over my professional life. And I really wanted to leave that behind. But the thought occurred to me that actually, if God is in the chair, then that actually makes life slightly different. And maybe I could cope with that. So after considering it, I said, yes, I would be happy to be a trustee. What I didn't know, that God, of course, did know, was that about 2 or 3 years later, the chairman had to take time off for medical reasons, and he asked if I would stand in while he was away. As I knew him quite well and we were friendly, I said, yeah, that's fine. Except that instead of being away for a few months, I ended up by being chairman, I think, for 9 years. So I wasn't quite ready for that.
You weren't expecting that one.
One of the ways in which being at Harn Hill has changed me is that as a doctor, I always knew at least what the next thing to do would be. But going into prayer ministry, I had no idea, and I think it was entirely right that you don't have an agenda, because it's not your agenda, it's God's agenda, and controlled by the guest. So my prayers before we started were very meaningful when I asked for God's guidance, because I knew that without it I was sunk. And that helped me to both learn to trust God more and to also learn that he was entirely trustworthy.
Yeah, you couldn't fall back on your GP training at that point.
Which up until then I had been doing. So that was something that needed doing, but was very helpful in all my dealings at Harne Hill, because they were in a sense personal, but it wasn't my responsibility. My responsibility was to try and follow God as closely as possible. I think if I hadn't had that time, and there were times which were actually really quite difficult, where I needed his guidance and was at that stage able to actually take it, I think that was a big moment of change for me.
Simon Cameron will now lead us in a time of prayer.
Heavenly Father, you have called each of us by name, gathered us together to share our faith. Trusting in you, Lord, we have joined one another in community, a community of faith on a journey, committed to going ever deeper with you, Lord. Deeper in our faith, our love, and in our desire to know you more. As we journey on, Lord, we want to journey well. Keep us mindful of your love and your sacrifice for us. May we always be aware of your presence with us and your presence in us. Let us never lose hope along the way. Help us to be strong, strong in faith, strong in love, strong in our desire to know you more. Lord, it is only in your strength and by your grace that we can go out and share our faith and your love with all those in our communities. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, you love when your people live and walk in communion. We know you desire for us all to have relationship with those around us who are willing to walk with us and do life with us. It is when we are in community with other believers that we grow the most. Lord our God, bring friends into our lives that will pray for us and encourage us, but also challenge us. Build us into a community of followers of Christ and followers of your way. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Well, thank you so much to Matt and Tilly, to David and Simon for their contributions, and to Mike for editing today's recording for us. And thank you too for listening. Let's pray. God of glory, you nourish us with your word, who is the bread of life. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that through us the light of your glory may shine in all the world. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May God keep you in all your days. May Christ shield you in all your ways. May the Spirit bring you healing and peace. May God, the Holy Trinity, drive all darkness from you and pour upon you blessing and light. Amen. Well, every blessing from all of us at the Harnhill Centre. We'll leave you now with a wonderful version of Amazing Grace, especially recorded for us by Matt and Tilly. Goodbye for now. First believed.
was blind.